Hi Church family, our heart at Catch the Fire is to provide amazing content, amazing media for free. However, if it's in your heart to sow into the ministry, we would love you to partner with that. Please check out the information on this video for ways you can partner both financially and in terms of volunteering your time. We would love you to be able to partner with the message that we're bringing so that everybody can access this content for free moving forward.
We are going to commission our incredible children's pastor.
Get in here. This is Ash, everybody. So, as you'll know, a while back, Phil and Hannah let us know that they were moving on, and so we began the process of praying about where God was taking our children's ministry as a church. And we were really asking God, you may remember we had a prophetic word from Mark DuPont about him, about God bringing in a number of high caliber leaders into our church family. And this right here is the manifestation of that prophetic word, one of the manifestations. We were prayerfully considering who God might be bringing for us. We had an amazing group of applicants, and I used to work in recruitment, and let me tell you, it's very rare to be in a position where any number of people who came for the job interview could have done the job. And amazingly, lots of the people who came for the interview, we're looking at putting them into other roles, working on different teams. But for us, the decision was unanimous, and we are very pleased to announce that Ash Admasu is going to be taking on our children's work. She has been in situ now for a few months, but we were waiting for her to get her feet on the ground and get herself established before we introduced her officially and commissioned her. So we're going to pray for her now. We're going to commission her. Why don't you guys stand? We're just going to do this as a family. Why don't you just stretch out a hand? And as we pray, what we're doing biblically, the whole point of commissioning, you've heard me teach on this before, where God appoints, God anoints. And we believe that God has appointed Ash for this position for such a time as this, for our kids' ministry, not for the generation of tomorrow, not for the church of tomorrow, but very much for the church of today. And so, God, we ask that as you have appointed Ash, that you in turn would anoint Ash, that Holy Spirit, you would equip and empower her to be the amazing children's pastor that you have called her to be for this time, for this season. We commend you and we commission you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just to be so Spirit-led, to be completely Spirit-led in your role. And we bless you with the riches of heaven, that everything you need for vision, everything you need for resources, everything you need, all the provision to do what God's calling you to do, to see the vision that he's given you extended and expedited. God, we just ask that you would just commission her and anoint her for that. And we just say publicly that you are the right person for the role. We thank the Lord for you, for revealing you, for bringing you to us. And God, we ask that you would bless her in this position in the name of Jesus.
Come on. Yeah, and Father, as a church family, we declare we come in line with those prophetic words of revival with our kids. Father, all those words of increase of kids, increase of children, Father, and even mums and dads queuing up down the M1, bringing their kids to Fire Kids. Father, we ask now that you would so graciously pour out your spirit upon this kid's work, Father, in this house and upon Ash, and you'd raise up leaders, God, incredibly fiery, fiery, fiery leaders to bring everything that these kids need in this critical age into the kingdom of God, flowing with the Spirit, prophesying, healing the sick, that these kids, God, will literally be your best friend and you their best friend in the mighty name of Jesus. Abba.
We just bless you, Ash. Thank you, Father, that your hand is on this generation, the 414 window that you've called to bring in the end time harvest. We bless you with strategies from heaven and blueprints from heaven to release to the kids, not just to be a babysitting club, but for them to know who they are in Christ and to take their place in this generation. Bless you with the Holy Spirit and his anointing.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. And I just said a thing, if you've got kids in this church, especially if you've just birthed a kid. I know we've got a couple of just birthed. I want you to just come over quickly. I want Ash, if you're a parent of a kid in this church, I want you to come over to this side. I want Ash to pray for you as a parent that there would be a unity between the children's work and the parents in this church. Ooh. And if you're part of Ash's team, run up quickly, stand behind her. If you're part of kids' work, if you're part of Fire Kids,
we've got the smallest baby.
There's a couple of very... We've got lots of very small children at the moment. It's an epidemic, people. Ooh. Shakaraba. Yeah. Come on. We want unity between parents and children's workers because children's workers are not separate to parents. They're actually a team in raising children, aren't they? Yeah? So it's not like it's like, oh, well, we'll just drop them off at Ash and then we'll go home and, you know... It's not like a baby, as someone said, not a babysitting service. This is children's workers and parents coming alongside each other to see every child come into its destiny in Christ, isn't it?
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, everyone's just looking at the little babies. Oh, baby. Oh, come on. This is first time to church for these two little ones, I think. No. First time for bait. Look at this. Not going to lie, that is the expression Si has when I'm preaching.
Everyone knows that we've been loving and lifting up all the new mums and dads, but particularly Si and Anna. Can I just ask one more thing? We just stand and stretch our hands out to this utterly beautiful, incredible little one and welcome her into the family as well. And come on, just pray for her. And Si and Anna, I honor you for being incredible, steadfast, fiery, faithful ones, son and daughter of the house and of your Father God. And Father, we ask that you would stretch out your mighty arm. And we thank you, God, that this little beauty bomb of glory is going to grow in this house to be a prophetess to the nations. And she's going to be incredibly intelligent. And we welcome you. And we say we're so glad we've been waiting to meet you. And we thank you for your healing power, God. And you continue to form every single part of her beautiful body in line with heaven. And all God's people declare, yes and amen.
Amen. And I've just been, we've got a load of people who are in the political realm, as I explained earlier, but just been given this. There is actually a bill going through on the 23rd of October, which is a 10-minute rule bill, which is like the pre of law, that actually is going to be the most extreme abortion bill ever put into this country, which is looking to decriminalize abortion in every way. And so we need to be up standing as Christians and realize, I don't know what your theology is, but my Bible says no murder. That's my theology. And so although we will love everyone in every situation and we will never judge because that is not our job. Amen? We will stand up for the unborn and we will stand up against this bill. And so just stand up a sec. If you want any details, then no, sorry. Are you all right if everyone comes up to you afterwards and gets that link? And we're going to, I really want you to message your MP and say, we want you to vote against this, okay? Because this is the first step in a long process of law, but if we can kill it at the first step, then we're not going to allow the killing of babies. Amen? Amen.
I don't know why I have the mic again. I am going to welcome Duncan and Kate Smith. Duncan and Kate, presidents of Catch Fire World, but additionally an incredible mama and papa in the kingdom to us.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. They know all about living in lots of countries and transitioning. And you guys have loved Kate and I like crazy the past few years. And we don't want to think about where we'd be without you guys. So just thank you for everything that you carry. And guys, would you just stretch out a hand to these guys and pray? Yeah, we just bless you with the fullness. Hey, we bless you with the fullness of the Spirit surging through you. Let the anointing increase. Let every word come straight from the Father. And we are eager to receive.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Ooh.
Shall I go?
Wow, so good to be with you. Good to be here with family. We send our greetings from Catch the Fire in Raleigh, North Carolina, one of your sister churches. And it's our honor to be here in the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. You know, it's the same Holy Spirit. His presence is the same. And, you know, Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've been doing so far. Thank you that you've been here. Thank you that you've been ministering to our hearts. Thank you that you've been drawing us into your love, your great love. Yeah, how can we go from that place? How can we move our hearts away? Well, we don't. That's the whole point. And in worship, I was asking the Lord for something for Catch Fire London, for you as individuals. And I saw flowers falling over us. I was like, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What does that mean? What are those flowers? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was doing a couple of things, actually, showing me that the flowers were coming because he was restoring to us not only the beauty of Jesus and his name, but he was putting in us a love for ourselves. So it was like an identity shift that was falling on each of us. And also, I felt like the Lord was saying that corporately, this whole church community, and if you're visiting, it applies to you because this word is for you, that as we return to the beauty of Jesus and we understand the beauty of who we are in Jesus, that there was going to be an outpouring of beauty just being released into the streets and to the businesses and our workplaces and our families. And I just saw that there's going to be a season of harvesting of new souls, people that have not yet known Jesus, coming into a place where they're going to be drawn into our beauty, not just individually, but they're going to be drawn into our beauty corporately because of the beauty of Jesus Christ as we give him the place of honor. And I see that the Lord is pleased because Catch the Fire London has made this a place for him, for Jesus, for his beauty. It's not just tonight, but it's been happening for a season that there's just been a return to his beauty. And he's saying, I'm releasing these beautiful flowers of mine, all different shapes and all different colors, but we're drawn to the beauty of these unique flowers. And he's thrusting us into our workplaces and into our homes and our families. And he's actually going to be, he's putting us on display, if I can say that. He's actually putting us on display because he's put his spirit within us. We're in Christ and he's in us. And I just see that people are going to be starting to come up to you and you don't need to say anything. You just almost need to be like a flower on display. You know, you see these ornate flower arrangements when you go into these fancy hotels. And I see that Catch the Fire London is like an ornate flower display, flower arrangement. And there's different flowers that are brought together. There's diversity. But he brings it together and it creates this beautiful display. And people are going to be saying, what is it? What is it? Who are you? Why are you carrying so much beauty? And they probably won't use that word, but they're being drawn to that beauty. Right. So Holy Spirit, I ask for a release of that word on us as individuals today. But I ask for a corporate word that we would be like one of those extravagant flower arrangements that are there for the viewers. There's for those people that pass by to see the beauty and the glory of Jesus in our lives. And Holy Spirit, and the fragrance that's been released. Yeah, exactly. It's like so dimensional, this word, that there's a fragrance that's been released as floral beauties are being released into the streets and our homes and communities. Can I just ask you to stand? Because I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to just put this in our hearts that we don't have to try. We're not going around just you know, recruiting. There's no recruiting needed, because all you need to do is just be the beautiful person that Holy Spirit has made you in Christ Jesus. So, Father, right now, for every person, that you would just release the beauty of heaven, that we would be like those flowers. We take hold, we receive the beauty that is falling on each of us individually, but corporately, Father, as a body right now, we receive the beauty of Jesus into our midst, and we honor you, the beautiful Savior, beautiful one. And as we gaze on your beauty, I ask that there would be a release of the fragrance and the beauty that goes across this great capital city of London. Thank you, Lord, right now, for every person, that we wouldn't need to try, but we just keep gazing on your beauty, and you just release the beauty that you've put within us, your spirit within us being released. So thank you, Holy Spirit. We take that, and we ask for a great harvest, Lord. A great harvest this season. Wow. And some of you have been feeling it's really hard to share your faith. The Lord says, no, it's not. Just be yourself in my beauty. Be yourself. And the angels, we ask that there would be harvesting angels that you would release, Father, into our communities. Just start asking the Lord for your community, whether it's your workplace community, whether it's your family, whether it's your the place where you live, the suburb, the village, the town, the area of London. Just begin to ask the Lord to release the beauty of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive it. Come, Holy Spirit, like a wave. And may Catch the Fire London take its place with all the other churches in London to draw people to your true beauty. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Kate. Fantastic. You know, if you're seeing things that you are not used to seeing in church, or maybe seeing people behave in a way that you're not used to, let me just reassure you. The miracle is not that they're being touched by God. The miracle is that they get to live through it. Yeah. It literally, if God touches each one of us tonight, which I'm believing that he will, the miracle's not that he touches us. The miracle is that we walk out of here alive, still breathing, because he's really big, and he's really awesome, and he's really mighty, and he's incredible, and he could smoke us in a moment. But I thank God that he chooses to instead lavish his love on us and make us beautiful with his beauty, like Kate was saying. So don't be put off tonight by anything that you don't understand, okay? Fix your eyes on Jesus. And, you know, I love what my pastor John Arnott says. That was his, by the way. The miracle's not that God touches you. The miracle is that you get to live through it when you do. He also says something I find very, very helpful, and that is, he says, you know, if we were to plug your little fingers into one of the electrical sockets here and give you a little jolt of Her Majesty's finest electrical power, you probably would have a manifestation. And if that's true of electricity that God's created, how much more true is it if we get plugged into God himself, will our bodies probably manifest? All right, you all may be seated. I want to speak tonight on continuing the series of Have Faith in God. And tonight I want to speak on the man of fire, the Holy Spirit. I've chosen my words carefully because, as you'll see tonight, as we get into this message, there is a passage of Scripture in which the Holy Spirit himself is revealed, and that language is used. And I think it's smart anyway, because if we said he's the God of fire, then that would sound like some pagan god of fire. And he's not some pagan god of fire. He's the King of glory. He's the God Almighty. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the creator and the deliverer and the redeemer. And he is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's not an idol.
He's not a theology. He's not a philosophy. He is one God revealed in three majestic, glorious persons. And I'm excited for the message God's given me tonight. You know, before I get into the message, I just want to say something that I said this morning to the morning church, morning congregation, and that is this: have faith in God. That is Mark 11:22. And Jesus said those words. And I want to just point out, by way of introduction, have faith in God, Jesus said, not have faith in the outcome. Okay? Have faith in God, and you will have faith in the God of the outcome. Okay? And then whatever the outcome is, you can trust that God, who's good and works all things together for good, Romans 8:28, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes, and Psalm 119, verse 68, one of my favorite verses, you are good and you do good, therefore I obey your commands. If you know God's good and you have a revelation of his goodness towards you and that he does good to you, it's a joy to do what he commands you to do. If you don't know that God's good, his commands appear burdensome. But when you know that he's good, it's a delight to do what he's commanded you to do. And I just want to say that if you make the outcome what you put your faith in, then you're making the outcome God. And that's an idol and a false God. And that false God will always disappoint you because he's dead. He's not a God. And so if you put your faith in the outcome alone, it will lead to being shipwrecked in your faith. Have faith in God. And then the God of the outcome, who is God, will lead you into all of his goodness, no matter if that path appears to contain tragedy, difficulty, suffering, or things that you don't understand. You know that he will carry you through. Even death itself. So, every one of us in this room, we're all going to die. Every one of our relatives and best friends, we're all going to die. Okay, one day, that is a determined thing that's going to happen. Unless, of course, Jesus Christ comes back in our lifetime, in which case we'll be caught up into the clouds. But either way, this life, as we know it, will be over, baby. So, have faith in God. Not in any outcome that this world could offer you, or that your own desires would lead you to determine what goodness is. If you allow God to define what goodness is, you'll never be disappointed. If you decide what goodness is, then you're making yourself God, and you will be disappointed. Anyway, that was just by way of introduction and in the series. But what I want to do now is talk about having faith in God, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3, verse 16, the story is, the context is Jesus being baptized at the River Jordan. And it says that the heavens were opened as Jesus came up out of the water, and the voice spoke from heaven. The Father spoke over his Son, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, whom I love." And as he said those words, the Spirit of God, Matthew says, descended upon the Son of God. The Spirit of God. Okay? The Holy Spirit, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God. Now, whenever the Bible refers to God, it's referring to deliberately God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, being the Spirit of God, he is the Spirit of the Father. And that's confirmed in Matthew 10:20 when Jesus says, "In that day when you're being persecuted and you're standing in front of governors and rulers and presidents and kings, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Spirit of your Father dwelling on the inside of you will give you the words to say." So Jesus came to show us that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that he was baptized in, and Acts 10:38 confirms that Jesus, baptized in the Holy Spirit, went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. God the Son of God in flesh and blood, God incarnate, did not rely upon his majesty as the second person of the Trinity, his godness. He relied upon, in his humanity, he relied upon the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that is the same Holy Spirit that has been given or has been offered to you and I now that we're in Christ. Okay? That means that everything Jesus did, he did by the Holy Spirit, which is why he could say in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, if anyone believes in me, not only will he do the things that I do, but even greater things will they do in my name because I go to the Father. By going to the Father, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. That's John 7:37, 38, 39. And you're going to get the very one that I've manifested to you, the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, the Holy Spirit himself. And you're going to be able to do everything I've done because I didn't do it because I'm God. I did it as a man. Full of the Spirit of God, even though I am God. Yeah. Okay. Now, not only does the Bible call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God, as we've just seen in Matthew 3:16, not only does the Bible, Jesus himself speaking in Matthew 10:20, refer to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of your Father, okay? But he's also the Spirit of Jesus, the Son. Oh, wow. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of the Father. And in Philippians 1:19, he is referred to by the Apostle Paul as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's also referred to that by Luke, Dr. Luke, in the book of Acts, when he says in Acts 16, verse 7, I wanted to go to Asia Minor, Paul says, but the Spirit of Jesus prevented us from going. Who is this Spirit of Jesus? He's the Spirit of Jesus. Okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? One and the same as the Spirit of the Father. And of course, we know that Jesus and the Father, though distinct persons, are one and the same God. Okay? Revealed in two distinct persons, yet one substance. In fact, Jesus says, guys, I'm going. And the place that I'm going, you don't know the way, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you. And Thomas turns around and says, but Jesus, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? I'm a grandfather, by the way. So I kind of, you know, I get grandfather-ish. Kate and I have two grandchildren, best promotion we've ever had in our lives, and we didn't even give it to ourselves. Our daughter gave it to us, and our son-in-law got promoted to grandparenthood. Shika banga. By the way, I'd like to honor my mum and dad who are here tonight. They are great grandparents, Colin and Barbara Smith. Stand up, mum and dad. Come on. That's it. Mum and dad. Yay. Love you both. And it's lovely that you're here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. I love you with all my heart. Honor you as my amazing parents. Ooh. And so Thomas says, Lord, how can we know where you're going considering you haven't shown us the way and we don't know where you're going? I mean, that's actually, you know, as Australians would say, fair dinkum, right? So, you know, Thomas says that, and Jesus' answer is amazing. Thomas, I am the way. You're looking at the way, he says. And they're like, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In modern language, Jesus is the journey. Jesus is the journey, you never leave him for all of eternity, and the Father is the destination that you, in Christ, will spend eternity with. The Son, who's the journey, the Son, who's the way, and the Father, who's the eternal destination. you will always be one with the Son, one with the Father, by the Holy Spirit. Then Philip turns around and says, what? No one comes to the Father except you? You mean to say that you're not it, Jesus? If you're not it, just show us the Father then, will you? You know, if you're just the way and it's really all about the Father, would you please just show us the Father? And that'll be sufficient for us. That's what Philip says to Jesus. And Jesus says, Philip, have I not been with you for so long? 3.5 years. You've seen all these extraordinary miracles. You've seen all of these impossible things being done. Fish being multiplied. 5 loaves and 2 fish being multiplied into enough for 5,000 men. Plus probably 8,000 women, because women are always outnumbering men around Jesus. And then about 15,000 kids, because men and women are always outnumbered by kids. And so we're talking about a giant multitude here, okay? And Jesus fed them all from 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus is standing there and saying, Philip, don't you realize when I multiplied the fish, when you saw me walking on the water, when you saw me in front of Lazarus's tomb when he'd been dead 4 days, and I said a week ago, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out dressed in his grave clothes. Smelling like Kate was talking about, the sweet fragrance of heaven instead of the stink of death. Don't you realize, Philip, when I opened the eyes of the blind and opened the deaf ears and loosed the mute tongues and the paralyzed men and women got up off of their mats and carried their mats home? Don't you realize, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. It wasn't me doing those works. It was my Father living in me who did those works. And truly I say to you, he went on to say, if anyone believes in me, not only will he do the works that I do, but even greater works will they do in my name, because I go to the Father. And here we have this glorious Trinity, this absolute union in oneness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is Spirit. And in Christ Jesus, God became flesh and dwelt among us. So that we, who are flesh, could, when he died, we died with him. So that when he rose from the dead, we are now able to be raised from the dead with him. No longer flesh, but Spirit, forever with him. Now, we're still in this temporary flesh body while we're waiting until his return, or until the end times, if we were to die before Jesus comes back, our spirit will be in heaven, but we're all waiting for something else than the current heaven even. We're waiting for the moment when, after he's judged the entire human race, at the end of all things, of all time, he will judge every single person, and those who believe in Jesus will have everlasting joy, the likes of which no eye has seen, no heart, no ear has heard, no heart or mind has ever understood what God has in store for those who love him. The kingdom that's prepared by my Father, Jesus said, from before the world began, is waiting for you all. And it is a new heaven that is a new earth, where heaven and earth will be one. And I'm telling you, Ferraris, they're not going to cut it in that realm. They're just not good enough. In fact, all of the things that this world could offer pale into complete insignificance compared to what it will be like when we, as spirits that are joined one with Christ forever, will be placed forever in union with our brand new bodies. And we will no longer be restricted to traveling at miles an hour or kilometers an hour. We won't even be restricted like the angels are to traveling at the speed of light. we will be like God, traveling at the speed of thought. Guys, you have a very bright future. Orange has been right all along. The future's bright. However, it's not orange. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now I want to pull some things together for you tonight. Theologically, philosophically, and experientially for you by the time you go home tonight. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16 that God is love. For God to be love, a man by the name of Augustine said, if God is love, which he is, because to be able to claim that you're love, you must be God, aka Almighty. The reason being is you have to be able to say, I am love. Well, that makes you eternal. Not I was love, not I will be love, I am love. God is love. Present tense. To be present tense, you have to live in eternity. Okay. Number two, to be able to make the claim that you're love, you have to be omnipresent. That means you have to be everywhere. Otherwise, you'd have to say, well, I'm love over there with them, but temporarily, I'm stuck over there, so I can't be love over here, so I'll have to say, I'm love there, but not love there. But God is love. Therefore, he is everywhere. Secondly, you have to be able to be love for everyone and demonstrate that love any way you want to, completely unhindered. Otherwise, you'd have to say, I'd like to be love, but I can't because someone stronger is hindering me from being love. So you have to be omnipotent. That means all-powerful. And there's only actually one God who's ever claimed to be love. Not only that, okay, you have to be able for all time, in all places, with all people, unhindered, to demonstrate the greatest demonstration of what love looks like, feels like, and is. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5, verse 8, that God demonstrated his love in this way. While we were yet sinners, while we did not deserve it, God, in Christ Jesus, Christ died for us. And saved us. And no devil could stop him. No power could stop him. Of all the gods that other religions can claim, and some religions claim millions of gods, all those millions of gods could do nothing to stop Jesus Christ dying on the cross. No other god from any other religion has ever given a sacrifice for humanity. Every other religion demands humanity to give God a sacrifice. But Jesus came and did the opposite. Jesus came and showed us God, Daddy, Son, and Holy Spirit, and came and gave us a sacrifice. Hello. That's really different. Now, for God to be love, not only must he be the most powerful to all people, in all places, at all times, which he is, but there must be three persons who all are the same substance. Love. And life. And God is life, God is love, God is spirit, and God is good. In fact, for God to be good, he must be three persons. Because there's got to be someone who's good, there's got to be someone else who says, that's good, and then there's got to be the goodness, that the one who's good and the one who says, that's good, yeah. Says, that's good. So, for God to be love, Augustine says, he must be three persons. The lover, because to be love, you have to be a lover. Secondly, the beloved. And thirdly, the love itself or himself. And so we have the lover who loves. We have the beloved who says, wow, that's love, because the lover can't self-define. The lover can only give love. Yeah. It's the beloved who defines and says, oh, that's love. But if there's nothing, if there's no substance to that love, then it's just all a figment of the beloved's imagination. But there is substance, and that substance is none other than God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Spirit of the Father. God, the Spirit of the Son. He is the substance of love. That's why when the Father spoke over the Son, Jesus, who now has taken upon himself humanity, human flesh, and had become a human being, and as he comes up in his great act of obedience, coming up out of the waters of baptism, signifying that he was willing to get into our death so that the Father could raise him up out of the water for resurrection, which happened 3 years later, the heavens opened, the voice spoke, the Father spoke, the lover spoke to the beloved. You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He couldn't just say those words. The Spirit of the Father and the Son descended upon him, because you can't just hear God's words. You have to feel God's words. And God's words are substance. And that's why the Holy Spirit descended upon him. It wasn't just to equip him for ministry. In fact, the Bible tells us that that wasn't necessarily the moment of anointing. This is my words. Because it tells us the next thing that Jesus did, it says that he was then led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tested. He didn't go off doing miracles. And then 40 days later, after all of his testing, then it says that he comes out in Luke chapter 4 in the power of the Spirit. So first of all, he's led by the Spirit, but he comes back in the power of the Spirit, having conquered Satan and all of his temptation. Now, why is this all important, everybody? Because you and I can have the same Holy Spirit land on us tonight. You see, you can't love. You're just not nice. You're nowhere near as nice as you congratulate yourself on in your self-congratulation moments. How do I know that? Because of the other voice that's on the inside of you that tells you you're an idiot and you should have done that better. And why did you say that so hurtfully to that person? You see, the reality is every one of us in this room, we need the substance of God himself, God the Holy Spirit, to enable us to actually love. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 9, that we love because he first loved us. Now, let's think about this nature of the nature of this substance for a moment, okay? This persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Though they're three, they are one. If that blows your mind, good. What I mean by that is not literally your mind blowing up. I'm speaking metaphorically. If that causes you to go, I don't understand that. Great, congratulations. Okay? Because if you ever do work God out, whatever you do, get rid of him. That's not the real God. I'm serious. Job 36:26. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The numbers of his years are unsearchable. I love Job 26. It says, you know, describe Job's describing all these things that are great about God. And then it says, and all these things that are great about God, they're just the mere edges of his ways. And you know, I'm just going to speak to those of you for a moment who know and understand that we've been in 25 years of revival. The worst thing that can happen to us is that we become experienced in knowing the ways of God. And what blocks and hinders us from entering into the next great realms that God has for us is the previous realms that we know so well. Think about it like this. If you became a millionaire in pounds sterling, you'd be happy. Until when? Until becoming a millionaire gets you in the presence of multimillionaires. And then if you became a multimillionaire, you'd be happy. Until you came into the presence of billionaires. In other words, why am I saying that? There's so much more, everybody. Don't settle for what you have and where you are and who you know. Go in, go in, go in, go in deeper in the secret place. Go in deeper together as a community and go out further into the world that you are in so that you can discover more of God. In fact, there are some things in the Father's love, some experiences in the Father's love and in the Son's love that you just cannot experience in church. They are reserved for you to experience them when you're reaching the lost. So press on, press up, press in, press out, and press on. Now, the last thing I want to say is tire some fire together. Because in Matthew 3, verse 11, John said, speaking of Jesus, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who has a completely different baptism. This one who's coming, his very sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Have you ever thought about why he said "and with fire" and what he meant? I have wondered that. And as I was pondering God and waiting on the Lord and just meditating on him, the Lord gave me something that I'd never understood before. And he took me to Hebrews 12, 29, our God is a consuming fire. And then I remembered Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6. Love is the everlasting flame of Yah. You'll see that in the margin. It's one of the ways of understanding the Hebrew in that verse. Other verses just say, love is the everlasting flame. But actually, the Hebrew right there is saying, love is the everlasting flame of Yah, which is the shortened form of Yahweh, okay, the Lord. And so love, I'm like, oh, love is the flame of Yah. Our God is a consuming fire. He will come and baptize you. Jesus, the Son, okay, he's going to come and he's going to baptize you with love, is what it means when he says he's going to baptize you with fire. Because the Holy Spirit is the love of God and he is the fiery one of God. And when you meet the Holy Spirit, you will have an encounter with fire. The first person to have an encounter with fire that I'm aware of was Moses. And he saw a burning bush. The bush was on fire. And not only that, when he came closer, he saw that the bush, though it was on fire, it actually wasn't burning, which was shocking to him. And he's 80 years old at this point. He's seen a lot of burning bushes out there in the desert. But he has never seen one that's not burning. So his attention's grabbed. So he moves a little closer. And then all of a sudden, the bush speaks. You know, like bushes do. When you gave your life to Jesus, you gave God permission for things to get a little more weird than they have been. You know why? Because God is the God of the impossible. And in fact, if his will is possible, whatever you do, don't do that. That's not the will of God. That's the will of man. because the will of God is impossible. So if God says something to you and your very first thought is, what? That's impossible. Congratulations, you've heard correctly. That is the will of God. That is the voice of God speaking to you. Whatever you do, stretch forth and obey. Why? Because it's actually an invitation for encounter. Because the one who spoke to you about impossible dreams is about to show you in the midst of impossibility becoming possible who he is on a greater level. Okay, now this burning bush, it was burning. It was on fire, but it didn't burn. Why did God appear to Moses in a burning bush? Because he was about to go out and lead all of God's people, millions of them, out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And he was going to bring them to a mountain. And on that mountain, God was going to descend upon that mountain in a great manifestation of fiery thunder and lightning. And the entire mountain was going to be on fire. And God needed Moses to understand that that fire was safe. As long as you were prepared to take your sandals off in the presence of God. And that sandal taking off was metaphorical on two accounts. Number one, metaphorical of take the shoes that you've been walking around in a bunch of sheep poo, cow poo, and all the other poo of the world and the sin of the world. Take those sandals off so that you present yourself with just your feet. Also, take off every comfort of this world so that you're just with your feet. Because I know the desert's thorny and full of burrs, but you're safe with me. Take your shoes off. Get ready for the inconvenience of love. Love will always inconvenience you. It will inconvenience you to receive it, and it will inconvenience you to give it. Thirdly, take your sandals off because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. The word holy means oneness. The bush, the ground, and I in this moment are one. And when you take your sandals off, you're stepping onto me, and I don't want there to be anything between you and me forever. Now, all of that was to prepare Moses to lead God's people where? Into God. Into God. You see, they thought the promised land was the land of Israel, and it was, but the land of Israel was metaphorically symbolic of God himself. Abraham understood that. That's why he was looking not for a land in this world. He was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God, Hebrews 11. Because Abraham was looking for God himself. A lot of us became Christians because we were looking for heaven. We got the wrong idea. You actually became a Christian. You actually came into salvation because God wants you for himself. The fact that he happens to be in heaven is ancillary to the reality that he is who you're eternally created for. And wherever he lives, you'll live. Yeah. Okay. So finally, I started thinking about this. So God is three persons, one substance. God is love, therefore he's lover, beloved, and love. God is the consuming fire, Hebrews 12, 29. And love is the everlasting flame of Yah. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the fire of God, the fire that Moses saw in the burning bush, the fire that descended on the mountain, the fire that fell on the sacrifice at the temple when they first ordained the temple, that same fire that fell, the same fire that fell on the sacrifice on Mount Carmel, that's the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost when they were in the upper room and now they're one with Christ, they're saved, they've got the Holy Spirit in them for them, but they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on them for others and for mission and for witness and for everything that Jesus promised. And they're waiting for 10 days. And then all of a sudden, while they're waiting for the promise of the Father, all of a sudden it says that the place, that first of all, there was a sound of a mighty, rushing, roaring wind. How many of you have ever been in anywhere close to a true bushfire where the entire forest is on fire? How many of you? You will know, as I know, because I lit a bushfire, and that when I was 11 years old, and that bushfire we were trying to put it out, then we'd light it again and let it go up, and then we'd try to blow it out again and put it out again, and then we, you know, and then all of a sudden, the third time or fourth time we lit the fire, okay, there was a sudden wind in this dry thorn bush in Nigeria, in northern Nigeria. Yes, I am a black man in a white skin. I was born in Nigeria. I still speak Hausa. I grew up there for 18 years. I'm there's in the name of Jesus. And so here I am on the edge of the thorn. I'm in the thorn bush of acacia thorn trees. Anyone of you know northern Nigeria? Everything's dry. It's the dry season, okay? And suddenly there was a wind, as can often come, and it took the little fire that we made that became a medium fire. It shot it up into the tree, and the whole tree caught fire. And we're like, ha, ha, ha! And my friend and I, Johnny Baturi, we were terrified in that moment. And suddenly the wind came again and it blew the fire to the next tree. And then the next one. And then the next one. And before we knew it, the whole bush was on fire. I've never been so scared in all my life. And there was a sound of a mighty rushing, roaring, noise. As the fire itself created a giant wind and tornado. And the whole place just went boom. And my dad had dropped me off at my best friend's house to play in the house. And all the people saw from the hospital, they saw the fire coming towards the leprosy hospital. Can you imagine? And they all come running out. Wayo, 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 everybody. Wayo, wayo, la, 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 like this. And then everybody's bringing everything that they could think of to, they were cutting down branches of trees, they were bringing buckets of sand, they just, everybody did everything, and I ran sideways through the bush this way and then came running up. What's going on? Oh my goodness, look at that fire. Oh, came charging in, and we're all putting the fire out. Dad's putting the fire, everyone's putting the fire out, the whole place, the whole hospital was putting out the fire. Thank God we put the fire out. And we get in the car and we're driving home way later than we should have been. And my dad's like, wow, Duncan, wasn't that just terrible? I'm like, yes, Daddy, it was terrible. My dad never knew until I was 38 years old in Toronto. And I'm barbecuing. And Mum and Dad have come over from Canada. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to confess about the leprosy, about nearly burning down the leprosy hospital. And I said, no! We'll not be doing that. And he said, yeah, I want you to confess. So Dad comes out, you know, and we're just sitting there talking. I'm like, you know when you say something and your voice goes squeaky? So embarrassing, isn't it? You know, I'm like, Dad. just a little boy. Shut up, Dad. Yes, Duncan. Do you remember the leprosy hospital that day? It nearly burned down. Oh, do I ever, Duncan? That was a terrible day. What a dreadful thing that was. Yes, thank goodness we managed to put it out. Dad, John Baturi and I started that fire. And Dad goes, you did? You what? And then all of his stern, in that moment, his face went very stern for a split second. And then he realized, my son's 38 years old. This happened like 27 years ago. And we both started laughing, and Dad forgave me. I've never forgotten what that fire, how terrifying that fire was, everybody. And how much noise it made. On the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty rushing wind. Why? Because the fire of God was approaching the building, the place that they were meeting in. And then all of a sudden, the Bible tells us tongues of fire. What does it mean, tongues of fire? It means literally flames. Flames, giant flames, individual flames of fire. We were sitting around at Stu and Chloe's, and they have this. We were outside, and it was just getting a little chilly. So Stu, quick as a flash, jumps up, pulls the cover off this thing, and there's this tall cage-like thing, and he just fiddles around for a second, and boom, and a flame goes up this thing, and now it's radiating heat for us while we're sitting out on the patio, and we're just enjoying the evening with all of this nice flame giving warmth and light, and it was amazing, right? They had one of those on their head. How many of you know that meeting went bonkers? You know, we've just forgotten what church was meant to look like through 2,000 years of ineptitude. Of putting up with religion instead of pressing into relationship with this fiery lover and fiery beloved and fire of love himself. And so, can you imagine? Imagine, Stu. Oh, yeah, yeah. Can you imagine Pete and, you know, Pete and Jimmy and Johnny and Nat and Phil, and all of them are just going nuts because there's a flame of fire on your head. And I just imagine they started giving that flame away like there's no tomorrow, and the place went nuts, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all started speaking in new languages. I think they probably started speaking in new languages because no one had a language to describe what was happening. And that got them started priming the pump in tongues. I mean, come on, everybody. Lighten up and have some fun. Man, I think God the Father, God the Son were just there rolling with laughter in a healthy way because they're full of joy. And Psalm 16, verse 12 says that in your presence there's fullness of joy. They're not there like this. In your presence is fullness of joy. Pleasures at your right hand forevermore. Who's at the right hand of the Father? Jesus. Who's in Christ now, according to Ephesians 2, verse 6. Seated on the throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father with him. Us. So guess who the pleasure of God is? You. You are the pleasure of God. And you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in church. You've got a flame on your head. We might not be able to see it. But if you know you've got it, you've got it. If you know you've got it, you've got it. And anyway, maybe it wasn't meant for you to see. Maybe it was for the world to see. And listen to that. Listen. Whether you're in church or whether you're in your restaurant or whether you are in your cafe or whether you are in your bedroom or whether you are in the library at university where everybody's so studious. I remember it well. And I was one of those kids that could never shut up. Just loved the sound of my voice. Nobody realized I was designed to be a preacher. That's why. People have told me to shut up my whole life except Jesus. He has a few times, but generally speaking, it's other people. But it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in your car driving along. You could be wherever. And like Kate said, you are the majestic display of the splendor of the Lord. You are the flower of God. You are emanating fragrance, the fragrance of life from you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the fragrance of life is flowing off of you. You are on the display for the majesty of God. Now, in Chicago, in Finney's day, a man by the name of Finney. Okay, it says that history records that there were many meetings that Charles Finney, was it Charles? Yeah, attended, okay, was the speaker at. And in those meetings, the fire of God would fall in the room and people would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. However, a strange thing happened on many, many occasions. The public called 911, which is 999 in America, and called the fire brigade because the whole building had naked flames of fire burning from the entire building. And they thought the building was physically on fire. If that can happen to a building of bricks and mortar, how much more you, the temple of the Holy Spirit, can you have flames of fire coming off your head and no one else see them? No Christian can see them, but your friends, your family, your colleagues at work are like... And they're confused. They don't know whether to call 911, 999, or what to do with you because you are a man or a woman on fire. They literally can see the naked flames of fire over your head. I don't know about you, but I want it. Yeah, as Chloe would say, I'm having it. By the way, Chloe preached a brilliant message at Catch the Fire Toronto at our signature conference last month in September, and the whole place blew up. And she prophesied accurately over person after person after person publicly and put on a public display of the majesty of Jesus in flesh and blood. It was brilliant. I was so thrilled and honored to be one of her friends and to be just in this family together. And I just want to honor Stu and Chloe in front of you all. They have done an outstanding job of leading this church, planting this church, leading this church for the last 9 years, and raising up Tom and Abby and the whole team, Alistair and everyone, I'm not going to name them all, and all of you. And those of you who this is your church, okay, you have a growing sense that you belong to this church, okay? All right, but God wants to flick a switch so that this church starts to belong to you. It's one thing to belong to a church. It's another thing to take that church and pop it in your heart and start to own it because it belongs to you. And you're not going to wait around for Stu and Chloe to do this or that. You're going to do this and that. You're not going to wait around for someone to start giving words of knowledge. You're going to give words of knowledge. You're not going to sit there waiting for miracles to happen. You're going to do a miracle. You're just going to make a decision. I'm going to do a miracle. Right. So, take ownership of your church and everything will go to another level. Now, I've got one last thing to do. And then we'll pray for every one of you if you'd like. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Okay, now, just turn to Ezekiel somewhere. I'll tell you the chapter in a minute. If it's true that our God is a consuming fire, and if it's true, which it is, and if it's true that there's three persons in love, which it is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lover, beloved, and love, then it would also be true that each of those persons would be described in fiery terms, wouldn't it? So we see in Daniel 7, okay, in verse 9, that the Father is described in fiery terms, the Ancient of Days seated on the throne, and he's described in fiery terms, and there's a fire, a river of fire issuing from his very throne. Okay, and we know it's the Father because it says in a few verses later, one like a son of man, Jesus, approaches him on the clouds, steps up to him, and takes from him the kingdom. Okay, and then we also read in Revelation chapter 4, it describes the Father, one seated on a throne, and he is like jasper and carnelian. Both of those stones are bright red. What does it look like when stones are on fire? They look red, don't they? Okay, now, we also see that Jesus the Son, after he's glorified on the island of Patmos, he appears to John in a glorious vision. John hears the sound of a mighty rushing, roaring wind again, of waters this time, and he turns around to see, and he sees this glorious revelation of Jesus standing there. His face is shining like the sun. His eyes are blazing with fire. His feet are like polished bronze. He's dressed in white. He's got a golden sash around him. He's got a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, and he's juggling seven stars. And he's not a wizard with little stars going around. He's juggling universal-sized stars. Symbolizing that he is the great creator God. And John goes, oh my goodness, it's been 40 years since I've seen you when you went up into the heavens. It's so good to see you. And he runs out, oh Jesus, I loved it. I love those 3 years. And where have you been? No, it doesn't say any of that. It says that he fell down like a dead man. Jesus, now in his glorified glory, looks extremely fiery because he's the exact radiance of his Father's glory and the exact representation of the Father's being. And seated upon the throne is the Father, who is glorious and red, and the Son, who's glorious and no doubt red, because he's the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, but what about the Holy Spirit? If the Father is fiery and the Son is fiery, it would be only right that the Holy Spirit would be fiery, wouldn't it? Yeah. Let's see if he is. Would anybody like to see a verse where the Holy Spirit himself is described? This will change your life forever so that you know the Holy Spirit is not some whiffy ghost or whiffy spirit. He's the very person of love himself, and he has form just like the Father has form. Jesus said in John 5, you've neither seen the Father, you've neither heard his voice nor seen his form. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Ezekiel, unfasten your seatbelt. It's about to get dangerous for you. Get ready, everybody, because the Holy Spirit is coming and Jesus is going to baptize us tonight in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it came to pass in the sixth year, verse 1 of Ezekiel 8, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day, thank God it was the fifth day, not the sixth day, otherwise it was 666, but anyway, of the month. And as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness. I'd like to tell you what it was, but I can't. It was just a likeness. A likeness like the appearance of fire. If you look into your margin, many of you will see that the appearance of was a likeness. It is the likeness of a man of fire, is another way the Hebrew is interpreted. The likeness of a man of fire. But even if that isn't the way your translation says it, look what it goes on to say anyway. It describes the form of a man, except not a man as we know a man, but a man of fire. Okay. Then I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist. I'd like to say it's a waist, but it's not a waist like I've ever seen, so it's the appearance of a waist. And upwards, like the appearance, and downwards, fire. So from the appearance of his waist downwards, fire. No room for Calvin Klein jeans. No one cares. Just fire. And then from his waist upwards, like the appearance of metal, brightness, like the color of amber. And then it says, he stretched out the form of a hand. I'd like to say it was a hand, but I've never seen a hand that was liquid molten metal like amber. And he stretched out his hand, it says. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. That's why I have my hair styled like this. Yeah, it's just never gone back down again. By a lock of my hair. Actually, I have it like this in the hope that he sees it as some kind of handle and takes a hold of it. And he took me by a lock of my hair. The Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven. Just let all that just sink in. And when you've let it all sink in, just let it all sink in again. Okay. We are being described by Ezekiel the very form and person of the third person of the Trinity right here. The Spirit lifted me with the form of a hand, but not a hand like I know it, like liquid molten metal, like amber, glowing like amber, and lifted me up by a lock of my hair. Now think about this for a moment, everybody. What's the first thing to burn away in the presence of fire? On you. Your hair. How do I know that? I know it personally. One day, I was just moved to America from Canada. And me and fire, we go together, you know. And I said to my children and my wife, guys, I'm going out to barbecue. Kate said, honey, the barbecue doesn't work because it's a natural gas barbecue and we don't have a natural gas. I said, I know, I brought propane. I'm going to make it work. She said, honey, are you sure? I'm like, yep, absolutely. It's going to work. I'm sure it's not that difficult. So I get in there and I put that thing and I touch that thing and I'm like, phew. And in that moment, I heard the audible voice of the Lord. And he said, Duncan, get out of there now! And I went like that. And as I went like that, it exploded. And a giant fireball went up, rolled over my face, knocked me flat on my back several feet back, and took off up into the sky. And left me there going. And I peeled myself up. And I'm like, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Ah, I'm in pain. But I'm alive. And then I got up and they were all preparing the salad and the buns and everything. And they're waiting for that. And I came in, opened the door. And what are you all laughing at? It was terrible. And you know what? They all did exactly what you're doing. They all laughed at me. And they're like, and they're all three girls are laughing at me. 14, 12, and 11, and my wife, and they're all laughing at me. This was 10 years ago. And I'm like, I'm in agony. I just literally blew my face off. And you're all laughing at me. And Kate's like, honey, go run yourself under the cold shower. Just keep going. Well, I went up, and then I realized what they were all laughing at. Okay? I finally got my fro. Except it was a white fro. No, not only that, my eyebrows were gone. My eyelashes were wrinkled and curly. I took a shower for quite a long time with cold shower all over my face was bright red. I mean, it's a miracle I'm alive. When I looked in the shower, there was all this crinkly hair everywhere. It took weeks and weeks for normality to return. And we were just about to plant a church. And I was looking like that. Let me tell you something. When a man of fire reaches out his hand and takes a lock of your hair, you can expect that that hair is going to vanish in a split second. I can testify to that. Except that's not what happened. In fact, secondly, concerning hair, what's the first thing that would lift out of your head if we were to try to pick you up by your hair? Yes, your hair would separate from your head. And looking at one or two of you, it looks like God's been trying to pick a few of you up, and that has actually happened. But anyway, but not in the case of the Holy Spirit. No, because when he reaches out and he touches the lock of the hair of your hair, not only does your hair not burn up, like the bush didn't burn up and the mountain didn't burn up and Moses didn't burn up and the apostles didn't burn up, you don't burn up. In fact, the opposite happens. Not only do you not burn up, but supernatural strength is imparted into your frail body so completely that even the weakest part of your body, your hair follicles, are strengthened with so much might, you can be suspended between heaven and earth by your hair follicle. Babalolua. Which is a tongue God gave me, and I know what that word means now in Yoruba. My daddy's the Lord, my God. I'd like you all to stand. The Holy Spirit is here. the man of fire is in this room. He's come in this room. And he wants to fill each one of you and clothe you with fire. And Shakaraba, can you all hurry up and do whatever, but let's just keep this moment. Guys, the Holy Spirit that I've just been describing, that we've been reading about in the Word of God, he's here right now. And the Father and the Son have one singular passion, and that is for you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with love himself. Then you will explode at home with love for your wife, for your husband, for your children. You will explode with his love for your work colleagues. Your place of work will become a place where the very kingdom of God manifests more brightly than anywhere else because of the flame of fire on your head. And God wants to give you a flame of fire on your head. If you want that tonight, step out of your chair and get out here to the front. And let's trust God to baptize Catch the Fire London and all of you wonderful believers who may not necessarily, this may not be your church, but you are not here by accident tonight. This message is for you. This person of the Holy Spirit's for you. This lover, this beloved, this love are for you. You are now the beloveds in the love of the lover. Just keep pressing forward. Come quickly. Come quickly. It's about to get very hot in this room. And I want you just for a moment to forget about everybody else, okay, right now. And stay in this holy moment. Because we started off with Matt and Chloe leading us beautifully. And the worship, Sam and the team leading us in the most amazing worship where we're coming into the presence of God and we're looking into that glorious shining face that shines like the sun and into those eyes that are blazing with fire. And we've been invited in from the very beginning tonight into his presence. But you can be in the presence of somebody but not share your person with them. Any husband and wife in this room knows what I'm talking about. You can be in each other's presence and be thoroughly grumpy with each other. And you can have the presence of God and not know the person of God. And the most scary thing for me about leading a church is that you can do it so well without Jesus. You can grow with lots of people because you make the best coffee. You can grow with lots of people because you have the best music. You can grow with lots of people because you have the best chairs and you have the best buildings and you have the best of everything. And you can do really, really well. And you can even grow really, really big churches without the Holy Spirit. And that to me is the most sobering thing in my, one of the most sobering things in my life. And I don't know about you, but I don't ever want the presence of God and the power of God without the very person of God. And Moses understood that after he said, Lord, don't send us up from here like Kate was saying, unless your presence goes with us. God says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And then he says, if, Lord, I found favor with you, yes, you have found favor with me. But Lord, if I found favor with you, now show me your glory. And what is the glory of God? It's the very face of Jesus Christ. It's the very face of the Father, of which Jesus' face is the exact representation of his Father's radiant glory. And right now, he's going to show you his fiery eyes. It always starts with Jesus. And let Jesus right now Just let him lead you into the Father's presence. Let him lead you into the throne room right now. Let him lead you to the one who's seated upon his throne, the throne that is like sapphire stone in Ezekiel 1. It says in verse 23, 24, somewhere like that, it says that I saw above the firmament of the sky, I saw the likeness of a throne, and the throne was a throne of sapphire. Dark blue sapphire throne. And then it says, and high above the throne, high above the throne was one seated. Way above the throne. Not even sitting on the throne, but just sitting, hovering in midair. And it says that he, from the waist downwards, was like fire. From the waist upwards was like metal glowing in the fire. And the Lord showed me in a moment like you're in right now. Last weekend, the Lord showed me. Actually, it was when during the week when we were on retreat, the Lord took me into glory. And I saw that one, that fiery one that Ezekiel saw, Jesus, before he became Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, before he stepped from that throne and became flesh and blood, and the red came on the inside so that his life could be given to us through his blood. And John 12, 32, Jesus said, when I am lifted up above the earth, I'll draw all men to myself. And the one who in heaven is like fire, who is above the sapphire throne, was willing to step from that realm and instead be nailed to a cross and be covered in red blood for you. So that you who were confined to this realm of the natural could be resurrected with him for eternity. So that you who are natural can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit, so that this man of fire could come on the inside of you. Now welcome the Holy Spirit into your life right now. Just welcome him. Holy Spirit, come. You who are the love of God, come. You are who are the eternal love that's flowed eternally between the lover and the beloved, come. Come and light me. Come and light me. Come and light me up, Lord. Come and set me on fire. Come and transform me, Lord. Let me be like that burning bush. Let me be a tree of life on fire right now. Fill this tree of life, this burning bush. Fill me with fire. Fill me with fire. God, I want future Moseses, future deliverers, future mighty men and women of God who don't even know you yet, who are out there in the world. I want them to encounter you when they see me. I want them to see the fire that's in me. I want them to encounter your fire that's in me and on me, God. I want them to burn up with your fire. I want to be so burning hot that nobody knows what to do with me, God. I want your fire to emanate from me. I want your fire to fill me, God. I want your fire to burn and burn and burn. And for that burning bush, can I have just people, yep. Just, if you feel like you're falling or anything, just kneel down. Just fire on them both in Jesus' name. Fire falls upon this whole church. Don't start looking around you. Focus on Jesus. Look at his eyes of fire. Look right into those eyes of fire. Look right into those eyes of fire. Holy Spirit, baptize us with your presence and your fire. Mom, receive that fire on you right now in Jesus' name. Fire falls on my mom. Just lead her over here just so I can reach her quickly. Don't look, everybody. Stay in that place with God. Fire. Don't let her fall down. Fire, fall upon my mom in Jesus' name. Father, I release that fire onto her in Jesus' name. Make her into the most dangerous great-grandmother on the face of the planet, and dad as well, God. Baptize my father with fire, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Stay in the spirit, everybody. One day, John and Carol, in 2006, they asked me to come up onto the platform in front of the church, and they said, Duncan, the Lord told us we're to anoint you and commission you to the nations as an evangelist. And they laid their hands on me, and I fell over in the power of God. As I was lying on the platform, the Lord took me into an incredible vision. I saw a gigantic plain of Africa with no trees, just an endless horizon like in the Sahara Desert. And I saw a figure of a man in the far distant edge of this horizon. Suddenly, when I saw him, in a split second, he zoomed right up into my face. In the split second, at the speed of thought, he was right in front of me, and he was a man of fire. And I had not seen this passage in Ezekiel 8 at this point. The Lord had not shown it to me, and I was completely terrified in the presence of this fiery one, except he was beaming with smiling eyes and smile on his face. Fire was radiating from me, and he was like liquid molten metal. And as he looked into my eyes and I locked into his eyes, that burning love of Jesus came straight through his eyes into me. And then he lifted his hands, both of his hands, and he put them on my chest. And in that split second, he lit me with his fire. And I was instantly mushed to the ground, and I lay there shaking violently in front of the whole church for the longest time while John was preaching, and I was in a completely different realm. And from that moment, I started feeling the intensity of fire and heat all over my body for months and months and months and months. Kate would literally move me out of the bed. She'd be like, you're just a burning furnace in bed with me. It's just too much. And I'd have to lie there without my duvet on my body because I was just burning hot. And I would go places and people would say, you've just got heat emanating from you. This is your moment, everybody. This is your moment. Go into the Spirit. It's by faith, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Fire on them in Jesus' name. Fire fall on you in Jesus' name. Fire, press in, everybody. Press in. Press in. Fire falls on you right now. We light you in Jesus' name. We light you in Jesus' name. We light you in Jesus' name. Fire, come right now. Fill them. Fill them, Lord. Fill them. Fill. Shakabanga. Ben, fire on you, sir. Fire on you, mighty man of valor. In Jesus' name, be filled. Fire falls upon him. Fire on his family. Fire on his church. Fire in his workplace, at his restaurant. Fire in the doorway. Fire, fire, fire in the lobby. Fire, 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 fire behind the bar. Fire in the kitchens. Fire, 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 fire even on the food. Fire. Holy Spirit, I ask you that the food in the restaurants, Lord, that every person in this room that has anything to do with a cafe or a restaurant, in Jesus' name, from now on, their drinks carry fire. Their food carries fire. They carry fire. Fire fall upon you. Fire, 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 fire fall upon. Folks, don't fall over, please. Kneel down. If I come near you and you just feel like you're going to fall, just kneel down. Okay, we want to stay safe. Shakaraba, fire fall upon you. Fire falls upon you right now. Fire. Don't spectate. Press in. Press in. Fire on you. Let's have the whole prayer ministry team just work your way through. Shanda. Boom. Fire on you, Luke. Fire in Jesus' name. Fire on Luke, Holy Spirit. Fill him, Daddy. Fill this precious young man, Lord. Fill him. Fill Zach. Fill Zach, God. Ignite your fire on these. Every single person in this room, everyone that's up here, fill them with your fire. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them. Fill, 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 Phil, in Jesus' name. Fill her, Daddy. Fill him, Daddy. Fill your son, Father. Fill him, Daddy. Fill this beloved.
The mountains high and the valleys deep, but you're waiting there in the clearing with fire in your eyes. Fire in your eyes.
And through his beautiful wife, in Jesus' name, let your fire fall on me.
Wash me.
Your fire falls, Lord, right now. Let fire fall on the sacrifice. Fire falls on sacrifice. Shaka. Ooh. Fill them, Daddy. Fill them. Boom! In Jesus' name. Fill them with your glory. Fill them with your majesty, Lord. Fill them. Fill us, each one of us. Fill us. Baptize us with fire. Baptize us with fire and glory, God. Fire and glory in Jesus' name. Fire and glory, God. Just kneel down. Fire and glory. Oh, yeah, the Lord's baptizing you with fire and glory. Fire and glory. Fire falls.
You're the fire in my life.
Oh, fire on the rose. In Jesus' name, fire on rose, Lord. Fire, rose. Fire on you, John. Fire on you and Liz. In Jesus' name. Fire on them, Daddy. Fire on the sacrifice. Shaka. Fire on him, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fire on you, Si. In Jesus' name. Fire on you and fire on your miracle baby. Fire on the whole family, Lord. In Jesus' name. Fire on Anna. Fire on them all, Lord. Fire on their future kids. In Jesus' name. Fire! Falls on this sacrifice. Fire on her, Daddy. Fire. Fire on you, Philly. Fire on you too, young man. Fire on them, Father. Fire. Fire on them, Daddy. Fire. Fire on you, my dear. Fire on you, Mummy. Fire on Mama. Fill her, Baba. Fire on Mama. Fire on her. In Jesus' name. Come, God. Fill her, Daddy. Fill him, Daddy. Fire on your beloved son, Lord. There's fire all over you, son. That's why you're just feeling so hot right now. It's just the fire of God all over you. May you be the burning bush. Fire on them all, Lord. Fire. Fire on each of you. Guys, I want you to do one more thing tonight before I hand over to the team here. I want you to just make a decision in your heart. God, count me in. Lord, let me be like that burning bush. I want you to take my life, and I want you to cause me to be incredibly attractive to every future Moses and deliverer, God. That God, boom, you would set the nations on fire through me. God, that people that are the future heroes of the kingdom who have not yet been saved, Lord, would be attracted to me as a burning bush on fire, who's not burned, but is burning. Lord, pick me, count me in. Boom, sir. Fire on that man right there. Fire on the Incredible Hulk. Fire on him. Fire on you in Jesus' name. Boom on you in Jesus' name. Fire, 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 fire.
Keep burning, guys. Keep burning. Keep burning. You've heard me teach this before, but don't. If you've been prayed for and you know you're on fire, don't at that point step away from it. Don't at that point lower your hunger. When you're feeling God, when you know he's touching you, that's when your hunger should be the highest. That's when your hunger goes up. Your hunger goes up when God touches you. Your hunger goes up when God touches you. Increase your hunger, guys. Increase the hunger. If you're on pack down, then let's get packing down, and we'll get you prayed for before Duncan and Kate leave. But if you're on pack down, then please come forward and help us pack down. If you know how to pack down, then please help us pack down. But receive first, other than if you're on pack down, and then we'll get you prayed for afterwards if you're on pack down. Shakara baba, kusadadadadadadadadadadada. Yes. Ooh, shakaraba. Yeah. It suits you. Come on, guys. Don't dial down the hunger. You want to be burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. If you're new to us and you've got questions, please come to the front over by the door, and there'll be some leaders around to help you. We're going to answer questions that you may have. We're going to make sure you feel that you understand what God's been doing in the room. We would love to pray for you. We would love to connect with you. We would love for you to feel like this family is loving you well. And to do that, we need to know more about you. So please, if you're new to us, come to the front, come by the door, and the team will meet you there. We want to bring you into the family.
If you're here and you have questions about anything you've seen tonight, we'd love to chat with you. If you are on the beginning of your journey of making Catch the Fire London your home, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to help you get plugged in. There's so many things going on.